Speaking of happy, I am Eli Rigatuso, and we have a bonus episode this week, which is fun, because last night I went to the Shelter Belt Theater and caught the latest Snap Productions performance of Cock by Mike Bartlett. That's a very interesting title. We can talk a little bit more about that. But today I have the director of the production with me, Joshua Malady.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, Joshua.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Do you prefer Joshua or Josh?
Josh is fine.
Josh is fine. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll get that out of the way right away.
Yeah.
I always want to be respectful of how people want to be referred.
Yeah, totally.
All right, excellent. So, Joshua, tell me a little bit about yourself. How did you start your career in directing, and how did you get involved with the theater company?
I moved to Omaha in 2008. I got my degree from the University of Northern Iowa and was looking for a job. Found a job with the Omaha Theater Company, or the Rose. Moved to Omaha to be their technical director. I was there for two seasons doing all the set building and some design and stuff like that. And the second season I was here, I started to branch out, and I wanted to do not just children's theater. Ended up auditioning for Execution of Justice at Snap. Michelle Phillips directed, and I got cast in the show. And so that was my first outside acting piece, basically. Since then, I'm not the technical director anymore there, but I still work at the Rose in the box office. But I've also acted, directed, built sets, done lights, all that with many other companies around town. And directing-wise, I started my first directing gig in Omaha was with Skullduggery Theater. I did Red Light Winter 5 years ago or so. Around the same time I was doing Execution, I did that too. And then I've directed a lot of middle school productions, and I do every year a show with the Burke High Rock Stars, which is their special needs show.
Oh, very
special
cool.
Needs class.
Wow.
And they do a full musical. So we did Little Mermaid this year, which was Friday night, actually.
Oh, wow.
And so and I've been doing that for like three or four years.
I would have loved to have seen that.
And that it's amazing. Amazing thing, because it's the rock stars with the drama club kids, and they pair up, and so they come out and they do like an abbreviated version of Little Mermaid, and we did High School Musical last year and Hairspray, but they come out and they sing the songs, they do dance, they have choreography and all that stuff, and so it's a fun time.
That is awesome.
So yeah, then so the rock stars show was on Friday night, and it's just always that amazing feeling of working with these kids who are really doing it because they truly, truly love it, and seeing their family. I mean, they sell out almost the whole auditorium for it.
Wow.
So it's, 500 some people there. The support they get for it is just fascinating and amazing and inspirational the whole time.
Oh, absolutely.
Every year, it's the one thing. All of us that are involved do many other things, like the choreographer has a dance studio, and Emily Mokrisky, who is the director there, also does Christmas Carol and other things. But when we do the Burke show, it's like our highlight, basically,
yeah.
So.
Well, maybe next year we can do a little interview prior to that happening, because it sounds fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Although it doesn't sound like they need to sell. They're having any trouble selling tickets.
It's great. The whole high school. It's like the whole high school comes out.
That's just wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Well, let's just kind of dive right in here. This production, first of all, I went and saw it last night because I wanted to make sure that I could relate to what you're talking about, mm-hmm. and be familiar with the show itself. And, just right off the bat, it really is an amazing production.
Oh, thank you.
It is all of the moving parts and pieces and the acting. And, I just think that it's so incredibly well written. The playwright who wrote this play was wow.
Yeah. Like, Mike Bartlett has a way with words, really.
Absolutely. And some of it is like almost he turned an argument into poetry.
Mm-hmm.
It's so very poetic, and I was sitting in the front row, but I was literally a couple different times found myself really literally on the edge of my seat waiting for the next line and who was going to say what next.
That's wonderful. Yeah, and that's what the dialogue should do.
Yeah.
You really want to hear what they're going to come back with and what they're going to say and how they're going to move things forward. And I think with this script, there is no word that is wasted. Every word means something, and it's truly what Mike has done with this script. In the script itself, there's no stage directions. There's nothing telling you what to do. And in fact, he says there's no real scenery, props, or miming of anything. So it's all about the words.
Yeah, and absolutely. So and it's a very minimalistic set, as well as the fact that it's set up almost like you're at a fight. And so tell me a little bit about his thought behind a like where did he do you know where he got the inspiration to write it, first of all?
I don't, and I couldn't find stuff like that out there, but I know the tagline has basically been, any good relationship is worth fighting for. I feel like it could be one of those things that when you're having a conversation at a bar type of thing, yeah, oh, it is. Any relationship you're in that's worth it, you're going to fight for that. And that's what happens in the show. They fight for their love, and it becomes a big cockfight.
Right.
Hence the title, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a genius thing, because I think with that scenario of the cockfight as the basis for everything, it sets us up to have all these ups and downs in there. You know,
right.
Within the actual piece.
Well, and so there has to be a really, like I said, there's so many pieces that have to come together in order for that to provide that for the audience.
Yeah.
And being able to be drawn into that feeling of, not only the feeling of being part of it, but just like all of a sudden, I could feel myself betting on who was going where, you know, what was going to happen next, mm-hmm. you know. He's going to end up here, or he's going to end up there, or because, you know, paint a little bit of a picture for me, what the you know, kind of a high level overview of the show itself.
Okay.
And what is going on? Our central character is the only one with a name.
Yes, John is the central character. He's the only name. He's in a relationship with M, which is a man, and he's been in this relationship for a long time, about 10 years. I mean, it's a long-term relationship. They have a relationship that can be kind of volatile. Sometimes it'd be argument. You know, they argue. M pokes and prods. He's very sarcastic and teases John a lot. They take a break. John decides that they should take a break. While they're on that break, John meets W, who is a woman, on the tube, on the train. And they hit it off. They start talking. They have the same route. They've seen each other around town. And
because it takes place, where does it take place?
In London, generically, yeah.
Yep.
They meet. They hit it off. They end up deciding to have that moment of sleeping together, which John has never been with a woman. So it's a new experience for him. And it kind of sets in, does he go back with M, who has been mean to him and doing all this stuff, or does he go with W, who is wonderful to him and helps him and makes him smile and is gentle with him? Does he do the comfort thing, or does he, which is M, what he's known, or does he try something new and he has no idea what's going to happen? That's kind of where the play goes from.
Right, a basis. But mm-hmm. then there's just so many other things going on because of the fact that his sexual orientation comes into play, and how everybody looks at or feels about that piece of it.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
So it's, you know, it's really interesting because it has one question, and the question does come up in the play. You know, well, what are you? Are you gay? Are you straight? Or are you bi?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then kind of an interesting, because everything kind of comes to a head towards the end. Ha ha.
We know all these
no
jokes.
No pun intended.
It's great.
But it's perfect. It kind of goes along with it. It all kind of comes to a head mm-hmm. towards the end in regard to forcing that choice. Everybody has a stake in forcing this choice. But we're going to take a quick break. Going to play a little bit of music, do some station identification stuff, you know, all that important stuff so people know where they're listening. But we will be back in just a moment, and we'll talk a little bit more about Cox.
Stay with me. It's a hard, lonely time, and you let us see every little thing in your heart, a clear crystal ball. It's a hard, lonely fight. Hey, hey, fighter, you can stay with me. Hey, hey, fighter, you can stay. Woo, yeah, you can stay.
I am still Eli Rigatuso, and I'm still here with Josh. So we were talking about everything that kind of comes together towards the end, because there's a conversation that gets forced upon John. Everybody wants him to make a choice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where we end up. And we'll get back to that. But I'm going to talk a little bit about Snap Productions itself. Mm-hmm. Goes through a pretty extensive process to select what plays they're going to do through the year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There's a table reading that happens, correct?
It is, we have a play reading group. The head of the play reading committee has all the plays. There's 20-some plays, I think, this season that we're coming up to.
And people submit those to you.
Yeah, a lot of it, because like Mike Bartlett, this play itself is actually nationally known, that sort of thing. Someone's like, we should look at this. It meets our mission statement. It comes into play with our space, that sort of thing. We look at not only... does it meet our mission statement, but is it something that we can do in our space?
Right.
This play, especially four characters, minimal set, minimal everything, in our tiny little space is perfect. It's just perfect. But we've also done major musicals in there. They've done Rent there. They've done The Who's Tommy at some point. I mean, they do a lot with that space, but this is perfect for us. It fits all the criteria. So the play reading committee gets all the plays. We're set into like subgroups of people, so each group reads like three or four. Then we talk amongst ourselves and figure out which ones we want to recommend to the full group, and then the full group kind of goes from there, and so on until we have the season. And with Cock, actually, it's been on our list a few years. A lot of people were we're talking about Cock in the talking about it's still funny. I mean, honestly, dealing with the show for a year, it's like anyway.
But you know it. Here's the thing, though. I mean, I know Snap has had some issues with some of the advertising some of the posters that went out. And there were people that were actually cutting that word off.
Mm-hmm.
So all you saw was pictures of the cat or pictures of a variety of different phallic piece of sausage or, you know,
the first national tower picture
of a rooster.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so all of these different things that are very phallic.
Yeah.
But cutting the name off of the poster.
Exactly. We did talk to the gentleman who distributes our posters then. He said he went to a number of family places that were kind of uncomfortable with the word, and so they came to the decision to cut that off, which originally we didn't know.
Right.
I ended up going to a couple of places and seeing all of a sudden my poster was cut in half, and I didn't know. But it wasn't.
But I do think it's kind of interesting because, you know, it's not, why does that word have to have that negative connotation?
Exactly. And in the play, it has multiple connotations.
Right.
I think it's only one reference to
an
everybody thinks it is.
Penis.
Yeah.
Right.
Doing that whole thing, you know.
But I think it's funny because it does, people are uncomfortable with just even referring to body parts as they are.
Exactly.
So it does, like I said, it challenges on multiple levels. It's unfortunate that we as a society get so funky about words.
Yes.
Or even just discussing things as normal. Like, one thing that I have noticed, though, I have a lot of friends who have children, and, you know, they've even said to me, one friend I'm thinking of in particularly, she was like, no, we talk very openly about body parts. The body parts are what the body parts are. So there isn't any embarrassment or stigma around speaking about those things. It becomes kind of a natural conversation and course of life. And then I think that it adds to potentially a healthier relationship even with sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you're able to openly have conversations about who has what. And
that's what it should be. Yeah. I mean, we know where the parts are. We know what they are, and why hide it?
Yeah.
Why make it such, you know, honestly, if we didn't have that, this play would be totally different.
That's true.
You know, people, yeah. we wouldn't be making cock jokes all the time and that sort of thing. It would just be a word.
Right.
You know.
Right. So. But I think that at the same time, you know, the mission statement of SNAP is to really challenge people's thought.
Yes.
And also express that diversity, express that, you know, gaining awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this really beautifully fits into and is very much in line with the mission of SNAP Productions.
Exactly. Yeah. And I, you know, when it was originally put on the playlist, it's a tough read as a script because of no stage directions, nothing. It's just two people talking at most of the show. It took Ronnie Wells, who's the producer, scenic designer, and I, we went to Des Moines to see it, actually.
Wow.
And we saw it. We saw a different version. I mean, it was the same script, but a totally different vision of the whole thing. And we got done with it, and we were like, why would we not do this? It was perfect.
Well, that's interesting. So there's no stage direction whatsoever mm-hmm. in the play itself. So
yeah.
He even leaves it open to interpretation in regard to how you want to
exactly
produce the play.
Exactly.
Wow.
And not only that, but the emotions you can take with each word and just where the actors can go with it. And that's what we really explored when we did the whole thing. There wasn't much me going, you should do this here, you should do this. It was, let's see what happens here. Let's start at this spot, and then let's take it and go and just be natural and react and act with each other, you
right.
know?
So if W says something to John and she's angry,
how's he going to react? But if she says that same line, and if she says it happy or, you know, totally different emotion, he's got to react that way too. And so that's what I wanted with the acting, is to be just natural.
Mm-hmm.
You're really just having a conversation with somebody.
There was other things that I think were very poignant. You know, there was a fight. Well, it started as a fight between John and M.
Mm-hmm.
And they were moving around one another, and they were doing so in a way that was circular.
Mm-hmm.
So they were walking in a circle looking at one another, and it was like it was a fight, but yet it was a poking and prodding, but more of a flirting.
Yes.
Then, because then they end up coming back together again.
Mm-hmm.
Was that something that just developed in your practicing of the play? And
a little of both. We when I auditioned everybody, actually, it wasn't a typical let's read from the script, I want to hear what you sound like type of thing. It was, okay, you read from the script, now I want you to try this. And we would do kind of acting exercises in the audition. And so it was, there was one that was, everybody's good. You're going to stand apart from each other against each wall. And then when you say a line, it's either going to pull you forward or it's going to push you back and see how close you can get. And then there was other kind of power play type of exercises. And that transferred into the actual rehearsal process with things. And sometimes, especially like, I think I know where you're talking about, where it was, where I said, let's make it circular or something. It would give them the image of something because it came out of a line within that scene.
Mm-hmm.
We're circling or we're spiraling, I think is what it is. And so let's make that happen. Plus, with the way the space is set up, I didn't want it to be too stagnant. You can't just have people standing there.
Sure.
This whole thing is...
Well, that's,
you know,
just it. I mean, that's just it. You could certainly lose your audience if it literally was two people having a conversation like you and I are right
yeah.
now. This could be very boring to watch.
It is, yeah. It would, you know.
Which is why we're not watching it.
Exactly.
We're just listening to it.
Exactly. And so, yeah, giving them that movement makes it interesting for the audience, but it also is part of that cockfight attitude because they're sparring.
So was there any particular reason for setting it up in such a way? Because it starts with John and M, and they act out a scene, and then it goes dark, and then they move, and then it comes back up, and they're back again. And we go through a series of scenes with John and M. Things are good, and then they're starting to not be so good, and now they're getting really super bad, and now it's like there's this revelation that, oh, and by the way, I slept with someone, and oh, there is someone else. Oh, well, great. I see how you are. Now you've cheated on me. I mean, they were on a break, but yet now he's interpreting it as you've cheated on me. Mm-hmm. Well, but I thought about you the whole time, and I think about you. But it's like all of those lines that are very similar and that you hear in any relationship where someone has technically cheated.
Yeah.
I don't see it as cheating. But anyway, that's for a whole nother show.
Yeah, they were on a break. That's a different discussion.
But is there any reason why? So we go through this series of scenes with John and M,
mm-hmm.
and then we go dark, and then it's almost like we back up and we pick up where John and W start.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go through a series of scenes with them. And then there is this crescendo of scenes that include them all.
Yes.
And then also pulls in this other character, which is M's father, mm-hmm. and he is F.
Yep.
So this is kind of an interesting, just interesting. Is there any particular reason that you know of why it was written that way? And would there be any reason to maybe have it be a little bit more linear?
I think, what's the thought process behind that? I think it's a very stylistic type of thing because, and I remember when we saw it in Des Moines, for some reason I felt like I saw it linear in a way. Like I think there were a couple M scenes and then it was W, but it wasn't. It was the same way. But I felt like I knew the story as bouncing back and forth. And I think it's just that idea of watching John spar with these other characters, not seeing him go back and forth, but seeing him fight and see the fight with the one character and then see the fight with W. And then we come into that final round, a free for all in a way.
You know what I really find interesting, though, and this is not anything negative to the character who plays John,
mm-hmm.
but I felt as though he almost became nothing, mm-hmm. and everyone else was taking center stage. And he became a very, you know, and I don't know if it had to do with the whole idea or concept of his questioning his own sexuality or what. But it just seemed kind of interesting how he almost seemed to disappear to a certain degree.
Well, and I think that's in relation to what happens to John in general. It starts out very strong, and then especially once the audience is in that dinner scene at the end. I mean, John's thrown into this world where he is forced to face everything all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to give away the ending.
Right.
But having to make that decision empties him.
Yeah.
In a way.
In that regard, then Joseph, the actor who plays John,
mm-hmm.
you know, he really did an incredibly amazing job of almost disappearing.
That boy is,
and
everybody is phenomenal.
But yeah.
Joe has to go through so many different levels of emotion and physicality, and he's on stage the entire time. He doesn't leave.
Right.
You know.
And that's a 90-minute show.
Mm-hmm.
It was just amazing to me all the way up until the end that he really had just a huge gamut. It's almost like at the end you could just tell when they were taking their bows the level of exhaustion that he experiences.
Yeah.
So it's almost even, you know, to see that, to see someone really leave it all out there.
And he does. He does every rehearsal. They all do that. It was such a pleasure to work with all four of them and just see what they were all giving to every rehearsal, every moment that they were there. It was never like, I'm just going to come in and read these lines. It was,
right.
Oh, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
And we cast the show in November when the last Snap production of Mama's Girls was going on.
Right.
And so they had November, December. We started mid-January to really kind of look at the script. We had to read through before Christmas. And so they had that time to get those lines down. And they, starting week one, it was like week six already. I'm going, I can't give big notes yet. Like, I'm giving little specific notes. You guys know this.
Right.
You're good. This is going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
So, and it's nice that it was a lot of general, like, acting scenes, basically. Just two people on the stage talking.
Yeah.
So There was not a, you know, I'm not choreographing anything.
All right. Well, you know, we're going to take another quick break and then we're going to come back. We're going to talk about why people should go see the show. So I'll let you think about that while we run off and play a song. But we'll be back right after this with Speaking of Happy. Happy. We're at our final segment of the show today, and I I really want to just express, if you have not, if you've never, first of all, been to the Shelter Belt to see a Snap Productions production, this would be a great place to start, to get out there and to go see this and to allow yourself to really, truly experience an extraordinary space. I think that it says something to the acting and the directing and just everything that came together for this particular production, to the way that it was set up. I mean, it's set up as though you are witnessing a fight. You know, we're kind of in a ring. There's, you know, seating on two sides. And so that was really even very interesting, because the theater itself has always had just a stage and a seat.
We wanted to change the space a long time ago for shows. We always have these ideas of a rake stage or something, just something to do, not just a set on that space. And it's difficult because it is such a small area.
Right.
And so seeing this in Des Moines, they actually had it in a full round. So there was on four sides. They did have the same concept of having the actors in the space watching. I didn't even know W was there. And then all of a sudden she popped out. They took the cock thing more literal. They had roosters above everybody, different painted roosters for each character, and then F came in as the mysterious fourth character, and that sort of thing, which I think is naturally what the script wants you to do, wants the crew to do. But Ronnie and I really were like, let's change it up. Let's really do this. We can get this. Well, let's set it on two sides and make it the way it is.
Yeah.
Just because it lends itself so well to the show.
Yeah.
And I wanted that action of seeing, because you have M and John in the first part, and then you have W and John in the second, and then you have everybody in the free-for-all. But I wanted them to watch each other's scenes kind of as strategy in a way. And to really also bring the audience in and to kind of make them choose. Like you said, you place your bets, really.
Yeah.
Well, who's going to win this one?
Right.
And so it was nice how it all turned out with the seating and the minimal set and everything like that. So let's go ahead.
How would you describe the show to someone in less than five sentences to have them get why they should go see it?
I think it starts with, any good relationship is worth fighting for. And in John's case, he's got two very different relationships he is fighting for, and they're fighting for him. And it's that idea of, in the play, they say, what are you? Who are you? And you can be anybody you want to be. As society places those labels on us to make that decision. And unfortunately, sometimes society wants us to be one thing and only one thing. But what happens when you find something else?
Here's something that I find really interesting, because after the show, and I still want to go circle back to my friend who I had invited to come see it with us, I had made a comment to her about just the whole fact that the bisexuality was brought into the conversation. And what she said that I found very interesting, she identifies as polyamorous.
Okay, yeah.
And so she sees being in a relationship with more than one person. Now, that's being open with all those people, that you're in relationship with more than one person. So this is a little different in how John, I think, was, he was wanting to be open and he was wanting to be honest, because that's who he was inside. But I had mentioned about, there was this whole argument back and forth about, what are you? What are you? Like, even F, the father, was saying, what? It's okay. You can be that. I mean, you can be bisexual. It's okay. And then what my friend said that I thought was very interesting was, why should he have to identify? He just fell in love.
Yeah.
He fell in love, and it just so happened that over here it's with a woman, over here it's with a man. And it is very interesting how I think it challenges people to think about the possibility of actually being in love with someone who doesn't technically fit all these things that you thought you were supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly. And in the program notes, there's a quote I have, and coincidentally it's from South Park, which is terribly funny because it's such a beautiful quote, but it says, love isn't a decision, it's a feeling. If we could decide who to love, life would be much simpler but much less magical. And
South Park,
right? Mr. Garrison said it. I remember watching that episode and going, what? Did I just hear that?
Yeah,
I did. Okay, I'm gonna take that and use it for a lot of different things, because it's such a great quote because it's true.
Absolutely.
And John has to, he has to throw away the magic. He mm-hmm. has to, they're forcing him to make this decision. Yeah, I almost went right to the ending. But he's being forced
Cheesecake.
To do that. Cheesecake. Exactly.
Now you're going to have to go see the show.
Exactly. You
in order
understand
to understand what
about.
That means. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So anyway, I'm sorry to mean to interrupt, but
that's true though, the polyamorous thing. Why can't just be, he's trying to be open with everybody.
Right.
Like, I love her and I love you and this and that.
And he even says for different reasons. Mm-hmm. I love you for this, this, and this at the same time. And it was interesting though, because I don't recall him really listing anything off about her that was seen as negative
mm-hmm.
in regard, but in contrast, people think, well, why would he want to be with somebody who treats him so poorly in regard to M? But yet it happens all the time.
Yeah.
And you can't, like, love isn't defined on, you know, how someone treats you. But then again, there's this challenge of, because I've been, you know, I just found myself being able to relate on some level to each character.
I think a lot of people will find themselves going, oh yeah, that I've been there. I've done that. That's, I mean, not so much in the way of John having to decide which a man or a woman type of thing, but just love in general. And
right.
that's at the heart of it is what it's about.
Everyone should be able to see themselves, I think, in John,
mm-hmm.
in just the possibility of being in love with more than one person.
Yeah.
You may not have experienced that being in love with at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Or you might have, because our world probably would, you know, we do have a lot of people who cheat on people.
It's unfortunately true.
Right. And in to some degree, some of those things go on for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do finally become honest, either with the players or with friends of theirs, that this is what's going on. And now I'm torn because I'm in love with two people.
Yeah.
What started out as a fling has now become so much more. And I can't live with myself. Not saying that I'm doing that, but
yeah.
But you get what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
So that's why I'm saying that it's interesting that, you know, initially I wanted to hate M, but then I started to see that, you know, he had some things that he didn't necessarily deal with or hadn't dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
And this was bringing all of that stuff to the forefront for him. Same thing with John. I think that there's just so much to learn about humanity in this play. If you're really willing to question yourself.
Yeah. Why do we stay in those relationships? Why do we
right.
do those things?
Or even just looking at physical attraction.
Yeah.
And so much more in some degree. Physical attraction is so much more. In particular, if you have that physical relationship, but what brings you to the point of wanting to physically be with that person?
Yeah.
And what are all those things that have you be attracted to that person to begin with?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's almost even a coming of age thing for John, as because his relationship with M, he's much younger.
Mm-hmm. And he says that, you know, he says, you make me feel much younger and she makes me feel much older. Both of the relationships are two different things in a way. Those relationships complete John.
And it's almost like a personal fight that becomes real.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a live action, his own personal fight that becomes a real, like he created the scenario of now this internal struggle is becoming an external struggle because he's playing out all of these questions that he has for himself
yeah.
with each of these people.
Yeah, it's all there.
Mm-hmm.
And he lays it all out, and everything is his doing and his being and his openness.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be in his shoes, but I feel like everybody will.
Careful what you say.
Right?
Careful what you say.
True. You know, but everybody, I feel like everybody will find themselves there.
Yeah.
And see that they've been there at some point in some kind of relationship, you know?
Yeah.
It's just real.
Absolutely. Well, like I said, I mean, I found myself really in each character, not so much with the father character. Brett Spencer plays the father, but definitely with, could relate to John, could relate to M and F, or and W, in regard to being the person who, you know, she ended up being with someone who is newly out of a relationship, and mm-hmm. and she didn't want to go there, but she did end up going there. And like, I've been in that position. I've been in the position of being in a relationship that wasn't so good for me.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And struggling to leave it.
Uh-huh. I've been there, too.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, you really, it really just, for me, I found it to be very almost cathartic in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am now in a relationship with someone who meets me evenly.
Yeah, I am too.
In all regards. And I left there grateful because I've already experienced so much of the ups and downs that were happening within this play. So it really is, honestly... I would say if you've never seen something done by Snap Productions, this would be a great place to start.
This is, yeah.
Do not let the title of the show stop you. And if it raises hairs on the back of your neck, then you really should go.
Exactly. Challenge yourself to see something that might frighten you in a way. Just whatever that connotation of that word is, let it go and just see why it's called that.
Right.
Why they use that word.
Right. Because I know at one point there was some conversation about having the title be Cockfight.
Which is actually the quick story by that is that when it came to America,
mm-hmm.
the New York Times wouldn't publish that word.
Right.
Wouldn't publish cock as the title. Mm-hmm. So Mike Bartlett allowed them to change it to the Cockfight play, which you can do as far as the licensing and rights.
Right.
But we didn't. We chose not to do that because it's the play. It's the word. When we saw it in Des Moines... We talked to their artistic director, and he said, no, the Des Moines Register published it, and it was cool. It was easier than we thought it would be. Same with Kansas City. Actually, a good friend of mine reviewed the play in Kansas City, and they published the title there. And so it's not so much the publishing of the title. Sometimes it's the poster.
Right.
Obviously, we've had that experience with the poster and the word getting cut out. But
well, the Reader did a really phenomenal mm-hmm. review. I read that last night as well.
Yes.
Their review of the play was spot on.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I really appreciate Gordon for doing that and giving us such a great review. And then Chris Elston, I think I just one of those two is a blogger around town. Also liked the play too.
Mm-hmm. I'd say challenged your beliefs.
Yeah, and that's what Snap wants to do.
Absolutely.
And also bring awareness to all these different areas of humanity that we have.
And the diversity in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Well, Josh, thank you so much for coming on the show
today.
Thank
you. I appreciate it.
I've enjoyed our conversation.
This has been great.
Yeah. So we'll have to, like I said, we'll circle back around and talk again about some other things.
And
particularly the stuff that you do at Burke.
That'd be great.
So next year we'll get you in here for that as well.
Awesome.
So. That's it today for this episode of Speaking of Happy. Thanks so much for listening. And please go to snapproductions.com, click on Buy Tickets, and go to the show. It is the last weekend of Cock, produced by Snap Productions at the Shelter Belt Theater. I promise you will not regret buying a ticket. It's a great show.